right. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Did you come expecting? Expecting what, Pastor Debbie? Expecting the word to work for you. It's the doers of the word that are what? Blessed in their deeds. Amen. So we're going to open up with prayer this morning, and we're going to get started. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you this morning with great enthusiasm and excitement about your word and for your word. We thank you for your word, that it never returns unto you void. It goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent. We thank you that your word is living power. It is spiritual in meaning and life-giving in its effect, life-preserving and life-sustaining. We thank you this morning for the great and mighty Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We thank you as the great teacher and revealer of all truth. You are the great illuminator who illumines the hearts of each listener in here today. We thank you for bringing that revelation, knowledge, and understanding into the heart of each one. And I ask for unction and utterance to be to be given me today, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. And I give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have been on instantaneous or process. How many of you been getting something out of that? How many of you know that healing is spiritual? It is spiritual. And it begins in the heart of man. Because you are a spirit being, you possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, your reasoning, your intellect, and you live in this physical body. But we have to remind ourselves the physical body is not the real you. It is the house or the shell for your spirit man or the inward man. And our body should not dictate to us or tell us what we have or what we don't have. Our bodies should come in line with what we are believing with our hearts and saying with our mouths on a consistency basis, continual basis. Not just in the time of crisis when it gets really rough and tough and we're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? No, it's not what am I going to do now. It's I know what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Rising up with the word of God and declaring it boldly in the face of circumstances or conditions or sickness and disease. Knowing who you are. Knowing what you have. Knowing what you can do in Christ. Right. That you're the winner already declared by Jesus Christ. You are the winner. The overcomer, the more than a conqueror, right now. Yeah. Not trying to get something we already have been given. Yes. Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, healing has already been provided for us. But just because something is the will of God does not mean it will what? Automatically come to pass? Right. Mm-mm. Just because something is the will of God, it's the will of God that all men be saved. But is everybody saved? No. Why? Because God gave man a free will to choose between life and death. To choose. So we know in the great plan of redemption, healing was already provided. And God is waiting on us to believe what he did already through his son. Believe it, receive it, and then what? Make it yours. Appropriate it, make it yours. Move it from information where you just start hearing about, wow, this sounds really good, Pastor Debbie, man, you're talking about health and healing, and it sounds so good. Yeah, I remember the first times when I started hearing about it. I didn't know either. But when I started hearing about that healing word, guess what? It began to change my life dramatically. And I grabbed a hold of that. I meditated on it and tried to get it in me as much as I could. And I worked in the shipyard and put in plenty hours a week. Hallelujah. But I made the most of the time that I was given. My lunchtime every day, there would be apprentices going through the apprenticeship in the school. They would come and we would have a Bible study every day in the conference room of my office. They were hungry for the Word of God. Yeah. They were hungry for the Word of God. And it's a good thing to stay hungry. And so I would meditate. I would take, you've heard Pastor Chris and I, our testimony, we would take 3x5 cards. We would write a scripture down. We would take that card to work with us. And, of course, I worked on the computer for my boss, who was one of the, right under the VP. Hallelujah. Anyway. And I would pen it over my computer, and I would meditate on it, mutter it to myself, think on that scripture, dwell on it. Roll it over in my heart over and over and over again. You did? Yeah, it's a process. It takes time to get the word down into your heart. It takes time to move it from information to revelation. It doesn't happen overnight. We're so used to these microwave effects, we want everything right now. Got to have it right now. If it ain't got it right now, a manifestation right now. No. We're learning that. Yeah. Everything that is supernatural ain't always instantaneous. So we're learning to keep the switch of faith turned on. Right. We're learning to trust God at His word. I take you at your word. If you said it, I believe it. I've seen how good it works. What you started, you'll complete it. I take you at your word. Yeah, glory. It's true. We got to learn to take Him at His word. It can't be our secondary focus. It must be our primary focus. But you've got to settle that for yourself, because you'll be given marvelous opportunities all out here to believe and trust in so many other things. Because of the world that we live in and the day and the time that we're living in, it's pushing doubt, unbelief, and fear at you all the time. It's coming at you through the media. It's coming at you through the TV. It's coming at you through your workplace. It's coming in any direction it can come, trying to push the fear, the doubt, and the unbelief. But we're the people of God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
We belong to a different kingdom. Yes, for do. Such a time as this, when you got born again, hallelujah. Yes. You changed families, yes. You changed kingdoms, glory to God. You're in the highest, the best, the strongest, the greatest, the most powerful kingdom there is, the kingdom of God. Yes. And God chose you and picked you for such a time as this. He didn't want you born 60 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago. No, He said you could be born right now and be living right now in this day and time. So that means you are appointed and anointed and equipped for this day and hour. Well, we got to rise up and act like who we are, because He says who we are. He says you are the healed of the Lord. He says you are the redeemed of the Lord. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 107 verse 2, if you don't say it, somebody else is going to say it for you. And it may not be lined up with the Bible. So we need to make sure that we're lining it up with the Bible. So I would, working in the shipyard over those 20 years, meditate on the word, that shipyard bus, riding it home in the evenings, pull my cards out, go through them one by one, just go over them over and over again. Yep, that's me, that's who I am, I accept that's who I am. I would say it out loud. Yep, you said, Lord God, in all things I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. That's me. I believe that. I accept that. That's who I am. That's what I have. That's what I can do. Over and over and over again. Hour and a half there, hour and a half back. Praise the Lord, lunch times. Making the most of the time that you've been given. Don't tell me you don't have time.
Oh,
you make time when you go to Walmart, don't you? Oh, boy. Or you make time when you got to do other things. Well, what is a priority to you? Because what is a priority to you is what you will make time for.
That's the truth.
I mean, the enemy wants to keep us busy about everything else except the Father's business. I mean, he's trying to occupy your time, I'm telling you. He wants to steal your undivided attention off the Word of God and put it over here on the symptoms or on the pain or on this circumstance or this situation. He wants you looking at and thinking about the wrong things, but you're going to have to take control over your thinking. Remember, what we think on determines the direction that we'll go. Thoughts, unspoken, unacted upon, die unborn.
Yeah.
You cannot out-talk, you cannot out-think the devil, but you can out-talk him.
Right.
So you have to open your mouth and say what the Word says. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight thoughts with words, spoken words. Words that you believe, words full of faith, not fear. Words full of faith, so that when you release that word out of your mouth, it comes out like a spiritual force, and it begins to change, redirect, turn the situation around that you're facing or being confronted with. But you have to believe that. And the only way that you're going to come to the place that you believe the Word of God is continue to what? Meditate on it.
Yep.
Meditate on it. Read it. Study it. Think on it. So we said instantaneous or a process, healing can be. And just because it's supernatural doesn't mean it's going to always be instantaneous. And we found out that healing can be a process.
Yeah.
I'm going to share again what Brother Hagin said when it comes time to this. He says, because healing is not always instantaneous, many people lose the beginning of their healing because they don't know that. And so if they think, well, they prayed for me or I released my faith, whether it was a prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, hands laid on, all the different seven methods that God can get healing to you when you did release your faith, if you didn't believe you received. See, with the moment we believe that we receive something, we got to recognize that a death blow has been struck at that very thing, at that very given moment.
Right.
Whether you see it or feel it is another thing. But at that very moment when you choose to release your faith and believe you receive, a death blow has been struck at that thing. And that the healing power at that very given moment begins to operate and work in your body, and whether it produces an instantaneous result or a process, you're holding on to the Word of God with all your heart. You're holding fast to your confession of faith, like it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith. Got to hold fast to it because somebody's trying to steal your confession of faith. Brother Hagin made this statement. He says, I never talk sickness and disease. Never. He said, I was given marvelous opportunities. He said, but I would never talk sickness and disease. He said, I only talked what the Word said when it come to health and healing in his life. And remember, he was raised up off a deathbed. He had a blood disorder, a heart problem, and a paralysis in his body. He was on the bed on his back, couldn't walk, get up, or nothing.
Yeah.
But God raised him up because he chose to open up his grandma's Methodist Bible, hallelujah, and began reading and found out about healing in there. And found out that if they got it with their faith, he says, then I can receive it with my faith. That's all it takes. It's all it takes is your faith. It's not about Jesus' faith, it's about your faith, which you choose to believe. So also we shared this. We said, so we've got to learn to meet God's power, ability, or help. We got to learn to meet that. He's done his part, but now we're doing our part.
Yeah.
And believing it, receiving it, taking it for all it's worth.
Yeah.
Not letting go of it. Getting a firm, tight grip on it. Like the tenacity of a bulldog when he bites down on that bone, buddy. Some of them can be so determined and stubborn, they ain't letting go of that bone for nothing. Well, if a dog can be that determined about a bone, how much more can we be determined about the Word of God, laying hold of it and not letting go of that Word, knowing that it is what God has said. Now, see, this is where you got to get that settled, knowing that God has said this Word. Has not God said it? Shall He not make it good? He watches over His Word to perform it. His Word is what He watches over to perform, to make it good. Not your idea, not your opinion. He watches over His Word to make it good in our lives. This is why the Word should be a valuable tool, resource, our lifeline to the believer. It should be your everything. Because why? This is God speaking to you. Well, I never had Him speak to me, Pastor Dip. Open your Bible. This is God speaking to you. This Word is as good as if Jesus Christ was standing right here, right now in front of me saying, I say. See it like that. As if Jesus Himself was speaking. Every time you open that book, open that Bible. It's not just another book off a table with words in it. No, it's living power. It's alive, life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving. It is all-powerful, quickening. Hallelujah. What God said, He will not go back on. He meant what He said. He said what He meant. And He backs it and stands behind it. Woo, glory. When you know that the Creator of the universe stands behind what He has spoken, what He has said concerning you, when you grab a hold of that Word yourself and you know who's backing that Word, who's watching over that Word to perform it and make it good in your life, then you should get excited. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. It should create some excitement or enthusiasm in our lives. So we must learn to accept both, because healing can be instantaneous and it can be a process. You can get better and better and better and better until you're all right. I also shared about a statement that John G. Lake made, and he said, sometimes instant healings can be a hindrance to us. Oh boy, what, Pastor Debbie? I thought that was always good. It is always good. He said, because some people get healed, they go away and they forget God. Think about that. Something that happens instantaneous, they get it, they go away and they forget God. How about that? The one that just healed them miraculously, it was an instantaneous result. And then you don't see them anymore. And you wonder, how in the world? Because there's an enemy out there, I can tell you.
Yep.
He said he believed that the people who are gradually healed can see that they get better and better and better as they walk with God, and that knowledge becomes of an invaluable asset and wealth to them. As that gradual process of healing is taking place, they realize as they're walking with God, that close relationship with God, the knowledge that they're gaining and they're learning through the process of all of this is becoming effective in their life, and they're like, this is a wealth of revelation, of knowledge that's valuable, invaluable to them. So we're learning to accept both and do what the Bible says we need to do, keeping the switch of faith turned on once you become fully persuaded. And that's remembering, when you become fully persuaded in your heart, you're using your mouth on a continual basis to confirm what you believe already in your heart. Now, sometimes you're not convinced in your heart yet, so you are still schooling yourself in your faith, which the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, we having, let me read that real quick. It says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. So the word of God, the word of faith, gets down in your heart through your mouth. So whether you're not, if you're not convinced yet, you need to continue to keep it in your mouth by saying what the word says about you, saying what the word says about you, over and over and over again. So it says the word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so we're learning to keep that switch of faith turned on and believing. When you release your faith, whether it's instantaneous or it's a process, gradual, you believe and you say with your mouth, you believe the healing power of God is actively at work in your body, perfecting that cure.
Yep. Yep.
That's what you believe. Not the sick. Oh, Pastor Debbie, the sickness, they said it's spreading. No, I believe the healing power of God is at work in my body, perfecting a cure and a wholeness. I believe, you're saying with your mouth, I believe I have received my healing. And that healing power is working in me. It's working in me. I believe I have received. That's what's working.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the enemy would want you to say, well, I feel the pain, Pastor Debbie, or the doctors say, or the scan shows this, or the x-ray shows this. I get it. I get it. But the word of God has got to become more real to you than those pictures, x-rays, scans, words from other reports. Whose report? Isaiah 53, verse 1. Whose report will you believe? The arm of God is revealed to those who believe God's report. The arm of God is the power of God. The power of God is revealed to those who believe God's report and take him at his word. If he said it, I believe it. Yeah. So by keeping the switch of faith turned on during that process, we're continually lining our mouth up with what we believe in our hearts. This has to be. You can't just sit there and think and think and think and never say, say, say. What did Brother Hagin teach us? He always taught on Mark 11, 23, 24. Have the God kind of faith, verse 22. This is what the God kind of faith looks like. What? Whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice the word saith is in there three times.
Yep.
More believing with your heart one time.
Yeah.
Faith has an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude, speaking is the action. You were given a mouth, glory to God, to exercise your dominion on this earth. You were given a mouth to glorify God with. And the devil, when he was overcome, cast down to the earth, and he became the god of this world system through Adam's transgression, Adam committing high treason against God, gave the enemy permission to be here and to bring all his junk with him. Fear, sickness, disease, poverty, lack. But then he, what? He gave you and I, the moment you got born again, power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. He said, what? You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Didn't say nothing will by any means never challenge you. No challenges are going to come because we live in a fallen world. But we must know who we are in that challenge, and we must continue to exercise that dominion on the earth by what we're continuing to say. So with your mouth, you are continuing to dominate and rule and reign in your domain. With your mouth, what you are saying on a continual basis, you are ruling, reigning with Christ, like it tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. We rule and reign in Christ as we rule and reign as kings and priests on this earth, just like Jesus Christ. And kings and priests, what? They shall decree a thing. Job says, you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and light shall shine on your ways. Those kings and priests, they decree it, and that settles it. There's it. That's it. There is no question about what the king has decreed. Well, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, the word of a king is power and authority. It says the word of a king is powerful. And you and I, as kings and priests on the earth, come on now. The word of a king is power and authority. If you just recognize just a little bit of how powerful your voice is and how it's meant to change and affect the domain that we live in, this sphere that we live in, first heaven and second heaven. We know the third heaven is where the throne of God is, where God lives. Yes. But the first and second heaven, he says, whatsoever you bind on earth, Matthew 18:18. Matthew 16:19 also. I've given you the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's power and authority.
Yes.
That's dominion. But we never exercise if we ain't opening our mouth. Saying what the word says, because we believe it. It's not going to just happen because it's God's will. So we looked at some examples in the Bible. We looked at what? We looked at the 10 lepers. We started looking at gradual or process healings. Did Jesus have any? He sure did. He did, Pastor Dave. Jesus had gradual process healings. They wouldn't all instantaneous miracles. No. We looked at the 10 lepers. When they started calling, they saw Jesus and they started calling out from afar off, Jesus, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Jesus saw and heard their faith, because if they didn't believe, they wouldn't have what? Cried out and lifted their voice and asked Jesus to have mercy on him. Obviously, they had heard that Jesus was going about doing good and healing all who was oppressed of the devil.
Right.
Had built faith in them. So when they saw him afar off, they began to what? Do something with their faith. Their faith was put in action. Jesus saw their faith in action. It got his attention. What did he do? Run over there and lay hands on him, Pastor Debbie? No, he didn't. He said, go, show yourself to the priest.
Yes.
It was a command of faith. They could either choose to believe it and act on it or say, what? You mean you're not going to come and lay hands on me?
Yeah.
No. He said, go. Instantly, he gave them something to do with their faith. Why? Because faith has corresponding action. Faith is an act. He was getting them to act their faith.
Right.
And guess what? They did. They took off. He said, go show yourself to the priest. They took off, buddy.
Yeah.
Were they still lepers? Yeah, still lepers.
Yeah.
But one in their going recognized that he was what? Cleansed. And he turned around and he went back. All the other nine, they kept going and they went their way and forgot God. Uh-oh, what we just said, what Pastor Debbie, they kept going, did their own, went their own way for God. Didn't even come back and give thanks to God, because Jesus said, where are the other nine? Yeah. He knew that all 10 of them had been cleansed, but one came back. And because it says he got on his knees, he humbled himself, he worshiped Jesus, and he said he thanked him over and over. He couldn't thank him enough. Over and over and over again, thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. And because of that, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. So if he was missing any body parts, he could have been missing an ear, a nose, a toe, a finger, because leprosy eats the body parts off. Well, instantly, he was restored right there, made whole. Finger came back, toe came back, nose, ear. Glory to God. Because of turning around and giving God thanks. If we only recognized how powerful our praise and thanksgiving is unto God. Come on now. I don't think we have the revelation in these last days, the revelation of our praise and worship and the power that's released in our praise and worship, because we believe we have received our healing and we're just coming before the Lord. We're not begging him for anything. We're not pleading for him anything unless we're pleading our case. God, your word says that. So therefore, I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm not receiving anything else. And that praise and worship, what does God say about it? Psalms 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. Then we also saw in Psalms that God, when we praise and worship, it silences the enemy, the adversary. It shuts his mouth up. He will not stay around where there is true, genuine praise and worship. He will not, he will not, he will not. Why? Because he wants it for himself. Yeah. Still to this day, he wants to be worshipped and take God's place. But it'll never happen. So that was the 10 lepers, and we looked at the nobleman's son who was in a crisis situation. He said his son was at the point of death. But this royal official, the nobleman, when he saw Jesus, he began to beg and come to my house where my son is. Lay your hands on my son. But Jesus said, unless you see signs, wonders, and miracles, you won't believe. He said, go in peace. Go in peace. So that royal official, that nobleman, had a choice to make. He could either go in a agree with the word that Jesus said and believe that word, or stand there and say, no, please come to my house. You got to lay hands on him. He didn't. He simply stopped. He took Jesus at his word. He said he turned around and he began to go back to his home. And as he began to go back to his home, what happened? Some of his men servants met him on the way. They said, Master, your son liveth. His fever has left him. They noticed a change in him. And he inquired of them, well, what time did his fever left? They said, yesterday, about this time. And he knew what? That was the same time that Jesus said, your son liveth. Go in peace. Your son liveth. Woo! Instantly, something began to happen. Notice that word go again. What did Jesus tell the lepers? Go. What did Jesus tell this man? Go. That word's right popular in the mouth of Jesus, isn't it? Then we looked at the blind man, John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, the man that was born blind from his mother's birth. What happened when the man was born blind from his mother's birth? They were like, Lord, was this his mama's fault, his daddy's fault? Was this, whose fault was this? Jesus said, neither. It was Adam's sin that this man was born blind. In other words, God did not make this man sick so he could do a wonder work or a miracle in front of everybody. No, he says, what I'm about to show you is going to be showing you what God's will is. And what was it? He began to spit on the ground and make spittle with his spit in the dirt, and he began to make a clog of clay. And he made two clogs of clay with the spit and the dirt and put it on the man's eyes. And then what did he tell the man? He said, go. Well, here's that word, go again. We're looking at three different instances, and every single one of them, and these are gradual healings, Jesus told him something. Go. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man, he had dirt clogs over his eyeballs. And we found out that what? The Jews had a tradition that the first male born had healing in his spit. Jesus was proving to them that he was the Son of God. So he purposely used his spit and mixed it with the dirt and made two big clogs of dirt and put it over the man's eyes. And as the man went and washed in the pool of Siloam, it says he came back, what? Seeing. Woo, that's good news. Hallelujah. He came back seeing, man. He was excited some.
Yeah.
We're going to look at another instance today. Here comes a new one today. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We're still looking at gradual healings. Process healings. The very second miracle that Jesus did, it was a miracle healing, and it was what? Gradual. It was gradual. The nobleman's son was a gradual healing. All right, well, we're looking at Mark chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 22 and go through verse 26. Verse 22, Mark chapter 8. And I'm reading from the Amplified. And they came to Bethesda, and people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. The people wanted Jesus to touch this blind man now. Verse 23. And he caught the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, oh my goodness, here we go. We're using that word spit again. Y'all didn't think it was in there that many times, did you? Talking about the spit of Jesus. Again, the Jews had that tradition, that belief that the first male child born had healing in his spit. So Jesus was again proving to them that he was the Son of God. So it says right here, caught the man by the hand, he took the man out, led him out of the village, and when he had spit on his eyes, so he didn't mix mud this time, did he? No, it was straight spit from his mouth to the man's eyeball. Are y'all getting this? No in between, straight spit. There it goes, right there on the eye. Okay. And when he had spit on his eyes, so that means both of them got spit on, not just one. He spit on both eyes. Okay. And he put his hands upon him. Two things he did here. So he spit on both of the man's eyes, and he put his hands on them. And he asked him, do you possibly see anything? Now remember, he's taking the man out of the village. Why is he taking this man out of this village? Because the village was filled with so much doubt and unbelief. They did not believe on Jesus and what he was doing. So he had to take him out of that whole vicinity, out of that area. I'm telling you, you got to... It does make a difference who you hang around with, where you go to church. Are the people with you? Are they teaching healing and faith where you're constantly being surrounded with the Word of God, the healing Word, the anointing of the Word of God, it makes a difference. It can be a matter of life and death. You must choose and be consistent, because in the consistency lies the power.
Yes.
But when you're jumping around here, there, everywhere, and you're not planted, like the Bible says, those who get planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish,
yes.
Prosper, advance. Woo!
Yes.
Glory to God. So after he spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and he asked him, do you possibly see anything? Verse 24, and he looked up and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. So there was not a full, complete manifestation right away, was there? No. Here again, this is a process. This was a gradual healing miracle taking place right here before the people. Verse 24, he looked up and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. So it wasn't clear yet what he was seeing with his vision. Verse 25, and then he put his hands on him again. Notice it didn't say Jesus prayed again. It said he put his hands on him again. So it's biblical to put your hands on the people when you're praying for them more than one time. Sure is, because Jesus did it right here. Put his hands on him again. The man looked intently, that is, fixed his eyes on definite objects. We're in verse 25. And he was restored and saw everything distinctly. Even what was at a distance. Woo, glory. I would say that's a healing there now.
Yes.
Full manifestation right there. Not a partial anymore. Wasn't just looking like trees walking. He couldn't make it if they were males or females. No, he saw everything clearly now. And even at a distance he could see. So let's look on now. Verse 25. So he put his hands on him again, and the man looked intently and fixed his eyes on definite objects. He was restored, saw everything distinctly, even what was at a distance. Verse 26, and he sent him away to his house, telling him, do not even enter the village or tell anyone there. That's some strict instructions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because the man, Jesus was protecting the man's healing that he had just received. We saw what? He took him by the hand and led him out of the village, out of the area. Now the healing, the miracle has taken place. It was gradual, but it became fully manifested right there. The man sees clearly and even at a distance, and he tells him, do not go back to that village and do not tell anyone in that village. Why? Because he knew if he went back there and began to tell and talk about it, the people would talk him out of his healing. Can you lose your healing, Pastor Debbie? Yes, you can. I've heard people say, well, I thought once God healed me, that was it. It's over. It's done. No. Why does the Bible say, hold fast to that which thou hast? And it also tells us, hold fast to that which is good. Healing is good. It belongs to you. But there's an enemy, an adversary that's trying to what? Steal it from you. Take it from you. So we must hold fast to it because it can be lost. Jesus understood that. And he was stressing to the man, don't go back there. Don't even talk about it to the people there because they'll talk you out of what just happened to you. Don't hang around there no more. Go home. Go to your house. So obviously in where his house was, there was a community, a place that people believed on Jesus. And what he was doing.
Yeah.
It does make a difference. Your influences, your associations, your environment, where you go to church, what you choose to listen to with your ear gate, what you choose to look at with your eye gate, what you choose to speak out of your mouth gate. Remember, those are three gateways into your heart.
Yep.
Gateways. eyes, ears, speaking, mouth. We have to be guarding them all the time. All the time. Oh, glory. We're going to get this one in here. So that was another gradual, all right? Now we're going to turn the table here and we're going to begin to look at instantlies, okay? We talked about instantaneous or process, and we've been looking at all these graduals, these processes, and what we're to do and what we're to continue to do in releasing our faith by keeping the switch of faith turned on. So let's turn to Mark chapter 10. We're in Mark. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to begin in verse 46. We're going to look at 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. We're going to change and switch gears. We're going to look at an instantaneous healing. Okay? Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, this is Jesus with his disciples, and a great crowd. So there's a great crowd with Jesus, his disciples. Now, yeah, I want y'all to get this picture. A great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, a son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Oh, glory. Here we go. He began to shout. What is he doing? He's releasing his faith. He's putting his faith in action. He began to do something. Why? Because he heard about Jesus. So here's a man that also heard that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. This man was a blind beggar, blind Bartimaeus. And he was sitting by the roadside. But he heard that it was Jesus. And he began to shout, saying, Jesus, Son of David. Oh, here we go. He's recognizing him for who he is, the Messiah. Have pity, mercy on me now. Woo! He's seizing his moment of opportunity. He's saying with his faith, my God, here comes my opportunity, and I am not allowing this moment to pass me by. Woo! We're given moments all the time when it comes to our healing and health, and we got to make sure that we make the most of every opportunity, seize that moment, release our faith, put our faith in action, and begin to do something. So let's see here now. So he began to shout, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have pity, mercy on me now. Verse 48, and many severely censured and reproved him. So here comes the crowd now. Remember, it's a great big crowd with Jesus, his disciples. They're surrounded by this big crowd. They begin to reprove him and tell him, keep still. Be quiet. And this crowd begins to oppose this man who's beginning to what? Express and release his faith. Now the crowd begins to say, shut up, be still, be quiet. Can you imagine this man? He's a blind beggar. He's been sitting on side the road. He sees his moment of opportunity is about to confront him and face him. He's not going to let it pass him by. So you can imagine, as a blind beggar, he gets up and he begins to jump up and down and shout, Jesus! I mean, he's excited. This is his moment. This is his opportunity. And all these crowds of people begin to say, hey, be quiet. Sit back down. What are you doing? You look foolish. What are you saying? You're foolish. You know, people, even to this very day, when you release your faith, you might be in a church service and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost goes off on the inside of you. You take off and run. You're releasing your faith. You believe in God. You're trusting God. God, hallelujah, because you were moved by the Spirit to do something with your faith, not to just continue to sit there on your buff. Or whether it's to get up and begin to shout and praise God loudly. This guy, he was not quiet about it, was he? No, he began to jump up and down. They were trying to say, be quiet, keep still. That's just like the devil. He'll send the right person across your path. Don't you think that was foolish what you did in church last Sunday? No, I don't. I was releasing my faith and I was believing my God, and I believe I got exactly what I believe. Come on now. We got to be bold about what we believe God for. And we can't back down. We can't back up when pressure comes against you. We got to be even bolder and louder about it. Say, no, this is my faith being released. I believe my God. Hallelujah. Because my God is a big God. He's a mighty God. There's no weakness in him whatsoever. He's, oh, powerful. Woo, my goodness. So here we go. So he's shouting, but the people begin to put him down. Keep still, be quiet, stop your shouting. But all the more he kept on shouting. You, Jesus, Son of David, have pity, mercy on me now. He's saying right now, I ain't letting this moment go by. Verse 49, I love it. Do you see this man's faith is determined? He's determined to get what he came, what he's believing Jesus for.
Yeah.
Tenacity of a bulldog. He ain't letting go. Verse 49. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. Wow.
Yeah.
He shouted and he began to jump up and down that he got the attention of Jesus. What gets the attention of Jesus? Your faith. Your faith brings God on the scene. I love it. I love it. Your faith brings God on the scene. And so he shouted even louder in verse 49. But Jesus stopped, said, call him. And they called the blind man, telling him, hey, take courage. Get up. He's calling you. Now all of a sudden the crowd switches on him.
Yeah.
They go from opposing him and putting him down, trying to shut him up and be quiet and stop jumping up and down. Now they're saying, hey, he's calling you. Think about this, man. He's calling you. Get up. Jesus wants you. Oh, my goodness. They switch sides just like that. You cannot be moved by the crowds of people, family, friends. Listen to me now. You cannot allow friends, family, loved ones, co-workers to influence you and talk you out of what you know you have according to the Word of God. Be bold. Keep shouting. Don't back down. So it says, verse 50, and throwing off his outer garment, oh my goodness, he leaped up and came to Jesus. So now we're seeing even a greater action of his faith. Because of being a blind man, with being out in public, the blind people had to wear a certain piece of garment that told the crowds out in the world that he was blind. So when they saw the blind people, they knew by the garment, he's blind. Well, he gets up before anything happens. All he knows is Jesus has called him. He's been shouting and he's been saying, hey, this is my moment.
Yeah.
He throws that old garment, that old cloak off that identified him as being blind. The man is beginning to change his own identity right in public. Oh my, right out in the public. Are y'all getting this? He did not care that it was a crowd there and whether they were looking on or were not looking on. He got up and said, bless God, I am not going to be a blind beggar anymore. This identity is getting off of me. I'm about to be free and seeing and having sight again.
Yeah.
Sight again. And so took it off, threw it off, and he came before Jesus. Verse 51, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. Can you imagine? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Master, let me receive my sight. He's even calling him Master. He's humbling himself. Verse 52, and Jesus said to him, go. Oh, here we go. Here's that word go again. Four different instances here. We saw it on the gradual healings. Now we're seeing it on the instantaneous healing. Jesus is using that word go again. Why? Because it's getting the people to act their faith. Because faith has corresponding actions. It's so vitally important that you are releasing your faith, whether it's shouting, dancing, running, laughing, rejoicing, praising God boldly and loudly with thanksgiving, thanking Him over and over again that you are healed. You know you are. You're not moved by what you feel. Come on now. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Debbie. Jesus said, what? Go your way. Your faith. Whose faith? This man's faith. Your faith has healed you. Woo! At once he received his sight. Instantly, this man went from blind to what? Seeing. He was seeing instantly. I love it. I love it. It was his faith in action. He started out by using his mouth. He was shouting. Then he put it in action. He was jumping up and down. He was shouting. And then he does something even more extravagant. Throws the garment off. More extravagant with his faith. Come on now. And we talk about if we lift one little finger, we think that's harmful. Are you kidding? My goodness, both hands we should be glad to lift and praising and thanking God. Are you kidding? Who is the one that you're adoring and magnifying and glorifying? Woo! So it says, at once he received his sight. That was an instantaneous. And he accompanied Jesus on the road. He wanted to follow him, boy, and become a disciple. Are y'all getting this? How powerful is this? Just so powerful. So we've got to learn to meet God's power, ability, or help when it comes to you and I and our situations. Not to be passive about it, not to be putting it all on God. No, He's waiting for you and I. Let's stand to our feet. He's waiting for us to make a demand on his ability, like we've been, other man, he said, somebody, the woman with the issue of blood, somebody has put a demand on my ability. I love it. Boy, when you know God is saying that about you, someone is putting a demand on my ability. Woo, glory to God. That's what faith can do. That's what your faith can do. Can put a demand on God's ability at any moment. Hallelujah. But you're the one that releases your faith. Jesus said, your faith, go. He tell every one of them, go, do something. You got to believe. You got to believe. Yes. Believe you receive, right? Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Believe it. Hallelujah. And you shall receive it. Glory to God. God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. Because faith moves God. Faith brings God on the scene. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's release our faith together in here today. You might, if you got a pain or something in your body or something ain't right or a knee or a back or a... Come on now. It don't belong there, whatever it is. If it's opposing health and healing, it don't belong there. So let's say this together. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed and whole. Jesus himself took my infirmities, bore my diseases and weaknesses, and by his stripes, I was healed. Therefore, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Every organ, every tissue, every fiber, every bone, every part of my body has to respond to the Word of God. The Word of God says, what Jesus bore, He took it for me. Therefore, I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Jesus took it and carried it away from me. Therefore, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And I say so. So I just give you thanks and praise, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just releasing your faith. Just do what he tells you to do. Everybody's is different. You release your faith, whether it's a shout or a dance or a run or a laugh or just praising and thanking God. Hallelujah. Woo, he's a good God. And he only doeth good. He's a merciful, loving Savior. So patient, so kind, so good. He loves us so much. It's the Father's good pleasure to do good all the time. All the time, Pastor Debbie, all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Now you might be in here this morning and say, well, Pastor Debbie, I believe if hands were laid on me, I'll sweat. Point of contact for me to release.